The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone. Woo.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000. I'm David Kaplan. Hoodie is on vacation. Enjoy your time in the Indiana Dunes, my man. Double C, Courtney Cronin. Our Bears insider, football savant, is here. We've got Shay, we've got Jake, and we're ready for a three-hour ride. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. I like these early mornings. These are my favorites.
This is the best.
I love when you can start your day. And I actually noticed this earlier, because when you and I do our weekly hits, so do two of them, 8:35 a.m. on Mondays, 8:35 a.m. on Fridays, I sound so different. Because unless you're like up and moving and you know, getting your voice prepped, I sound like four octaves lower, which I have a low voice to begin with for a woman. So like getting to come in studio, I'm like, okay, I'm going to actually sound like myself. People are going to recognize what my voice sounds like, and I sound normal. So I appreciate being able to come in and do the show with you here.
What time do you normally wake up?
Between 5:45 and 6:15, because I like to get a morning workout in. But if I, like, on the road, for example, like for one of those 8:35 Monday hits, when you know you're typically getting done, you're getting to bed past midnight, you're up at like 4 for an early flight, land, and then you have to do a hit. I just sound so different. And it's just like, it's the fatigue that gets to me. So I'm like, gosh, if these guys think it's bad now, like wait until like week 12 version of me shows up. So I apologize in advance, but I guess I just need to come in studio more often, because I think I sound more energetic and I'm, you know, you're pumped about it.
Yeah, you're smiling. You're having a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just wait till deal breakers. anyway, so yesterday we had breaking news in the afternoon. You heard the sounder on, I think, on Waddle and Sylvie. Or Carmen, what time did that trade go down?
Around 4.
Okay,
so
it was on Waddle and Sylvie. And Robert Quinn is now an Eagle.
Yep.
He plays for Philadelphia. And we bought a fourth round pick. By that, I mean we not only gave up player capital, the Bears are eating like $8 million in salary, which, can we stop at the stupid narrative that the McCaskies are cheap? They may not know how to spend money. They have proven they will spend money. That's what Ryan Pohl said. I'll eat all the salary. Give me a fourth round pick. Did you like it?
I think it's a great trade.
So did I.
I was very surprised when I saw Adam Schefter put that news out that it was a fourth. Because you have to think back to the passive, maybe it wasn't so passive, conversations that were happening throughout the offseason.
They couldn't get a fourth.
Centering around him. Yeah. I mean, that was the dream scenario. I mean, I think a third would have been like over the moon, but that was in April. That was in March, when you're thinking, hey, they ship off Khalil Mack. Are they about to do the same thing with Robert Quinn? Well, I think Ryan Poles made a really good point about that yesterday, that at the time when he was trying to like squash all trade talks back in the offseason, they needed somebody to help this defense get established. They needed somebody to show you, okay, you need, this is some semblance of a pass rush that you have with Robert Quinn. You couldn't have nothing there, as Alan Williams, Matt Eberflus, the entire Bears defensive staff was getting started.
Trying to put their principles in.
Yeah, so you got what you needed to out of Robert Quinn this season. Pohl said he feels confident in the guys behind him. And then you get a fourth-round pick in exchange, of, like you mentioned, and they're picking up about, I think, $700,000 of his salary in exchange for
the Eagles are.
And the Bears are paying about $7.1 million. That that is buying a fourth round pick, and it's the smart move. It's a business savvy move that they were able to make because Ryan Poles is somebody who wants to build through the draft. Now you have a, you know, an early day three pick that gives you the ability to do that and continue to do that.
And again, you may not find Tom Brady there, but Ryan Poles, when he was on with us, he said the biggest problem with us is we have no depth.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to get more depth. That's a depth piece right there.
I mean, I've seen several, even just defensive linemen, several defensive linemen from the fourth round who have panned out. That's good depth. That's a great pick right there. Because you, I mean, we'll find out where it's going to be in a couple months, but an early day three pick could be a lot of different things for this team. Wide receiver depth. You can find a running back in the fourth round. They found one a couple years ago.
Maybe a punt returner.
They might have one of those on the roster. We'll see how that pans out. But yes, yes, a punt returner, some special teams help, anything right like that can be a fourth round pick.
Okay, here's Ryan Poles. Why trade Robert Quinn now?
Yeah, like I said, I think the guys around him, you know, I really do trust in, you know, Gibson. He's had a good start to the season. Muhammad, he's brought intensity and toughness to that group. And even young, you know, Dom Robinson has flashed. Even, you know, he took the ball that Roquan got the other day. And has a promising future, and I think he's going to continue to trend upwards.
So here is Poles on the general principle and the way of getting it done on trading Quinn.
I've hit on this before. Obviously, part of the tough thing with this job and this position are the tough decisions you have to make. And I always feel like there's the emotional side, the human part of it that you know you're affecting not only a man, but also his family, and you're kind of shaking that all up. And I don't take that lightly at all, and I'm sensitive to that. You also know that you're tweaking the fibers of your locker room, and that's a big deal too. And he meant a lot to that locker room, but I'm fully confident that the guys, especially on the defensive side, the Jalen Johnsons, the Eddie Jacksons, the Roquan Smiths, Justin Jones, those guys are going to continue to hold it down and be leaders on that defense and help us continue to move forward. Then on the business side, you know, it just made too much sense for what we're trying to do. It's going to allow us to continue to build a highly competitive roster. I think the other thing, too, on the business side and really the football side is I just really trust, you know, Gibson, Muhammad, Dom Robinson, Kingsley Jonathan, those guys are going to continue to do a good job. And just to kind of finish everything up, I also want to give, you know, Ian Cunningham a lot of credit. He put a lot of work into this. Obviously, his relationship with Howie went a long ways. There's a lot of trust there. And I also want to thank Howie for his part as well.
Okay, so Ian Cunningham goes to his old boss. You got to help us out here. We'll help you out. We'll eat the money. I got to have a four. Howie says, all right, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. Do you think Robert Quinn, who has not had a good start to the season, now again, he's getting doubled. He's getting the best guy against him usually every mm-hmm. week. He's getting chipped. Do you think Robert Quinn has a lot left in the tank and in a new environment with Fletcher Cox and all these other guys, Robert Quinn could be a beast?
Yeah, I do. And I think that a change in environment for him going to a defensive line and a front seven that's already pretty loaded is going to bring the best out of him. I think he's going to be competing for a Super Bowl. And honestly, for a guy like that who you heard Ryan Poles get emotional, not to the point of Roquan Smith getting emotional,
we'll
but you can tell just how difficult this was for him because he knew, to use his words, that he was tweaking the fibers of this locker room when the team's coming off the biggest win of the season, momentum feels like they can contain the momentum, emotions are riding high for this team, to all of a sudden flip that at the, you know, last possible second with a couple days to the trade deadline. It's a tough decision to make. It's a smart business decision, though, and it's a great move for a player who's 32 years old, has probably a couple years left. He's been playing in the NFL for 12 seasons. You know, he's closer to the end of his career than he is the beginning of it. So to give him an opportunity, sending him to a place where he's going to be able to contend, that's doing right by Robert Quinn as well. And so I think that with all the boxes that you can check here, Ryan Poles checked all of them, if not got very close to doing so.
Okay, and there are people who say, well, why didn't you trade him in the spring when you could have gotten more? You have already reported that in the spring they tried to get a fourth. They couldn't. And so that's why they hung on to him. Here's Paul's on that topic. Did you lose value?
I'm not sure. I know I wanted Robert on this team in the beginning. There weren't many conversations at all. I was transparent with him and his crew about that. I knew the way he played this game, the motor and all that. We needed that to kickstart on how coach, you know, Alan Williams and Flus wanted us to play defense.
So it goes right to what you said. They wanted his leadership in the room. Mm-hmm. My question is, if he was truly all in and they were transparent with him, why wasn't he at OTAs and all the mini camp? Why miss all that if our side, I'm speaking as the organization, has been transparent with you, we'd like you to be here, why not be there to lead in the offseason?
It's a good point, and I don't think that as much as Robert Quinn said, I do believe that he wanted to be in Chicago. I think he thought he wasn't going to be there. So why come to minicamp if you think that you're going to get traded? Why not just pay the fine? And when we talked to him in this, I guess it was the earliest part of training camp before they had actually started practicing, he said he was getting his body and his mind right. He's been doing this for 12 seasons. He doesn't technically need the off-season program, but if you're planning to be here, if you don't think you're going to get traded, then you would show up. But
and
I mean, there was
your teammates need you,
and I think that he was able to quickly make up on that. I mean, you saw just being in that locker room every single day, people gravitate towards Robert Quinn. He is a huge presence. Who now they're going to have to figure out who takes on that leadership void. I mean, he was a captain. After all that stuff that happened during the offseason, they still put a C on this guy's jersey, which means something here. I mean, these guys really take it seriously where you have season-long captains. It's not something that changes on a week-to-week basis outside of the honorary one.
Which it did with Nagy.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a big deal. So, I mean, how do you replace that leadership void that will inevitably be gone now that Robert Quinn's going to be playing for a contending team in Philadelphia?
Here's Roquan Smith after learning that his guy, his leader, Robert Quinn, they're exceptionally close, was traded.
Robert, to the Eagles?
Yeah.
What do you make of Robert's time here? And what do you
Man, to yeah, man. Sucks. I'm going to take a second, if you don't mind. No, I have a great deal of respect for that guy, you know. Damn. Crazy.
He was emotional. Mm-hmm. He covered his face with his t-shirt, and then he got up and walked out.
Yes.
Do you think there are other guys in that room that feel the same way he did?
Absolutely. I mean, Robert Quinn wasn't here all that long. It's not like he was a bear for life.
Two and
he
a half
got
years.
Here in April of 2020, but the impact that somebody like that made on this locker room is, you know, you can't measure that. And I also think for someone like Roquan Smith, Quinn was one of the final pieces of the last regime. Like that, you know, there weren't many of them left after Ryan Poles and the new front office came through this year and sent a lot of players out the door, traded Khalil Mack, what his first move that he made as a general manager. And the holdovers, the Robert Quinns, Jalen Johnsons, the Roquan Smiths, they were the only ones that are left. And we're far enough into the season now where it's everybody's part of this 2022 Bears team. But I think for certain players who had been around, who had been through everything previously, that's kind of a reminder that, yeah, the past is truly in the past, and that part of your life is becoming more over than it was previously. Robert Quinn was one of the ones that was with you this entire time, more or less, for Roquan Smith. And I think that's just tough for guys to stomach in the moment, knowing that, okay, like you look around, there really isn't any reminders of what this team was before now.
All right, 312-332-3776. What did the Robert Quinn trade do for your opinion on Ryan Poles? Did you like the deal? And is Roquan the next out the door? We'll ask Courtney about future trades before the deadline on November 1. You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. You're listening to ESPN 1000.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap J Hood Show, Double C, Courtney Cronin is here. Hoodie is on vacation. Enjoy your time, big man. I'm Cap. Shay Norling's our executive producer. And the 113-pound Mighty Mite known as Jake Cantu is at the controls. He's headed off to Dallas with the Carmen and Yurko Show. When do you leave?
Saturday morning. So I'll be there. And I come back Sunday night after the game.
Oh, get out right after the game. Nice. Because when you go to a city like that with a big airport like DFW, there's a ton of flights.
Although I'm not in American Airlines. Like, that's not my where I have status. So I'm constantly trying to find the United Airlines. But it's, you got to
make it work. So you're United status.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I've had my account since I was a child because I grew up here. So kind of transformed into a Delta person my years in Minneapolis, which, I mean, great airline, but. Very happy to be home and to be riding on United Airlines to most of the games.
Yeah, I have status on American.
Okay. So, makes sense. B's big hub here, too.
Big hub. So, anyway. 312-332-3776. So, what did the Robert Quinn trade do for your opinion on Ryan Poles? Do you like the trade? Let's go to Brian on the Ryan. Brian on the Ryan, what's up, man? Brian? All right, let's put Brian back on hold. Let's go to Ezekiel. Hey, Ezekiel, are you playing against the Bears on Sunday?
Oh, thank God I'm not. I think the trade was perfect at the perfect time. I mean, we're able to get a fourth round. I think everybody came out happy. He went to Philly. He's got a good chance at a good with a good team. I think the next person to get traded, I don't think is going to be Roquan. I actually think it's going to be David Montgomery, which I'm really sad about. But you can tell by the game script how we've kept Montgomery and Khalil Herbert at a 50-50 and been calling a lot of plays for Herbert. So I feel like it's next. And I feel like he's also going to get traded to a team like the Rams or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And we're going to ask Courtney that. And thanks for the call, Ezekiel. Have a good rest of your week. I'm not sure that there's another deal out there that makes a ton of sense unless you're moving Roquan, but he's a free agent at the end of the year too.
And they can control his rights for the next two seasons if they couldn't work out a deal in the offseason, they franchise tag him. Yeah.
How much is the tag at linebacker?
It's less than what he could be making. I think it's somewhere in the 17-18 range for 23, at least the estimated for linebackers. But
do you think if they came to Roquan and said 5-year deal, 17 a year, do you think he takes it?
I don't think that was close to his number. So we've got to figure out, because he said yesterday that when he was asked just about kind of where he's at, because his stock has been going up the last couple games. I mean, the interception in New England, which was tipped by Dominique Robinson. You heard Ryan Poles say that. And then on top of that, he's you know, a statistical leader in a number of different categories. He's in a good spot. But he said yesterday that he feels like he's in the same headspace that he was back when he asked for the deal. And then he got declined. So he's like, I'm shifting my focus to try to be the best guy I can to the guys in the locker room, best guy I can to myself and to the loyal fans. And I just want to go out each and every week, show that I'm the best in the game. So he's compartmentalizing, but he still, it sounds like, not over what happened in the offseason with the Bears, him having one number and the Bears saying, that's not our number. So this will be the storyline to watch this offseason before we even get to how are they going to start building around Justin Fields in free agency and what moves might they make in the draft. It's going to be all eyes on Roquan, but I'm with you. I think he's too important for what they do defensively, especially right now. You can't get rid of everyone. I mean, it would just be...
It's not baseball.
No, and it's teams don't operate that way at the trade deadline, more or less. Like, this is very similar in structure and to the type of move that the Rams and the Broncos pulled off last year with Von Miller. Now, Von Miller was a one-year rental, if you want to even call him that. He'd won the Rams, helped win the Rams a Super Bowl because they needed to solidify their pass rush. A team like Philly, you know, they're getting Robert Quinn when he has several years left on his contract.
No, one more, right?
He's under contract through 24.
Through 24, okay.
So, I mean, it's a great move for the Bears because you're able to move on from, he has an $18.23 million cap hit next season. And so financially it makes sense. But for someone like Roquan Smith, where it feels like he's playing into what you, or he's playing the way that you need him to, being a big part of what this defense is, I can't see them moving on from him days after they just moved on from another staple who, yes, did not have the production that he had last season for a number of different reasons. Roquan Smith does have that production. So maybe they're fielding calls on it right now. I just don't think something would happen with him. He would not be one of my trade target candidates for the next 5 days until the deadline.
Anybody else that on there that you go, I'd move him.
I wouldn't move David Montgomery. I wouldn't.
Because you're not, what are you getting for him? A six? A five? Running backs don't bring that much
no.
back.
No. And you, if you hear the way that Matt Eberflus talked about him yesterday, like they like the 1-2 punch that they have with Montgomery and Herbert. Now, at times, it does feel like they do what Eberflus said that they were doing the other day, riding the hot hand. But when I asked Ryan Poles about that earlier this week, I mean, it's crazy. We talked to him two times in 3 days, which you never do with a general manager in
Ryan
the NFL.
Ryan Pace didn't talk twice in a year.
I mean, it's a testament to, I think, what, you know, Ryan Poles is trying to establish here and getting out in front of the news and reacting to the news, too. But, you know, I asked him about David Montgomery, and he said, you know, I'm wondering, okay, like, you know, Eberflus says they're riding the hot hand. How does this affect David, who's in a contract year? And he said that he felt David had run really hard and really well. He's one of his favorite players on the team, and he likes that how he approaches things. So to me, some of those comments, and then you hear what Eberflus says yesterday about, we like the 1-2 punch. We're going to continue to utilize them as such. I think for a team that's figuring out its identity on offense right now, you don't mess with that, because things finally clicked in New England where you have a split between Montgomery and Herbert. It's not like they picked up a ton of yards, but it worked and it was effective. And you have a quarterback with these designed runs who was helping orchestrate this rushing attack. So I don't think that you try to pluck a piece out of that and say, hey, Trestin Ebner, now's your chance. Khalil Herbert's number one back. You know, have you can be the number two. I just don't think that that is the right move as far as messing up what they're doing offensively right now for what? Maybe a six-round pick for David Montgomery?
Correct. But if he walks out the door, you know what people are going to say. Maybe not you or I, but there are going to be people traded. Go,
yeah.
Really? So you won six games and mm-hmm. you could have gotten another pick.
And I get that logic. I'm just wondering which teams would be willing. I mean, if it is a Rams, if it is maybe the Baltimore Ravens, they're a team that needs running back help too. You know, what would the overall return be? And is it worth it right now? Because you're trying to figure out what this offensive identity is going to be. You really don't know yet. I mean, we Correct. Saw a glimpse of it against New England. But for the short-term gain, I feel like you would end up hurting yourself long-term because you need to see 10 more games of this version of mm-hmm. this offense to know you're on the right track. And then you worry about the David Montgomery deal and the contract and if whether he's going to stay, whether he's going to go. I don't think that they're going to offer him a big deal just kind of based on what I've been hearing. But you get to that in the offseason. I don't think that you try to, like, tinker with that right now.
You know, if you look back at Justin Fields, the way he played at Ohio State, he was not a running quarterback.
No.
He used his feet, but he was a pocket guy. But he also knew he had Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He had Garrett Wilson. He had Chris Olave. He had Jeremy Rukert. He had 18 All-American running backs. And he had five-star linemen at every spot.
Yeah. He had an NFL team in college.
Yes. But he was not the guy we watched on Monday night.
No. It's an underutilized asset that they finally figured out how to tap into that more than they had previously. Now, was it going to look like this every single week? Jury's still out on that, but people don't know as much about him as a pure runner yet in the NFL. We saw a glimpse of it, and it looked pretty good, but that was because it was unexpected. So now that you put that stuff on tape, can he have as much success being a pure runner, the Lamar Jackson-style runner in the NFL, the quarterback position? We'll find out. Like, that's the thing. I mean, you're right. That hasn't been on display. He has a strong arm. And I just, it's like, it's utilizing his best asset. I wrote that during the game, and I wrote last week that they should be designing more quarterback runs for him, especially in the low red zone. But I don't want to say that to take away from his arm strength, because he's got a hell of an arm and he can throw the ball far.
He can.
So, I mean, that's still a very big part of what he does, and it's not like they want to change him and say that you're not a pocket passer.
But you also have to be able to protect him.
Yes.
And I don't think they can.
They're going to be going a step backwards now because, I mean, the news this morning was that they just promoted Dieter Eislin to the active roster. So they're going to move Lucas Patrick. I don't think it hasn't gone officially, but they're going to move him to IR.
Right.
So you're back then with Sam Mustipher at center.
Ooh, by the way, and I know everyone loves to dog this kid, he battles hard. He was their highest graded pass protection offensive lineman on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just. The only thing I worry about, and I don't know, maybe the Michael Schofield move at left guard, and obviously it's going to stick from here on out, but maybe that shores it up, because it felt like once Cody Whitehair went down in week 4 and Patrick had to kick over from right guard over to left guard, those last couple weeks are where the problems really started to arise, more than weeks 1 through, you know, 3.5, like up until the point where Cody Whitehair got hurt. So I just worry against this Cowboys team that you're going to, that's where the regression's going to start, because you are facing a team that sacks quarterbacks at the highest rate every single game in this Dallas Cowboys defense.
Micah Parsons, one of the best players I've ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing. All right, do you hope the Bears stay active before the deadline? You look at a trade, Roquan, Montgomery, is there somebody else you'd like to move? 312-332-3776. She's Courtney Cronin, I'm Cap. This is Cap J. Hood, ESPN.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Jay Hood with Courtney Cronin. I'm Cap. Shay is our executive producer. Jake is at the controls. He's our other producer today. Peter says, amazing stuff with Courtney R. Cronin today. She's great. Thanks for the info and input. Have a good day. There you go. You got
Thanks,
fans
Peter.
Out there.
Appreciate that.
Peter's a diehard Bear fan who lives now in Miami. And he's coming in for the Dolphins game.
Okay.
That should be a good battle with Tua back.
Wish that was flipped and we were playing down there. Wouldn't mind a November trip down to Miami, but, you know.
Are you a warm weather person?
No, I ski every winter, so I actually do appreciate the cold, but I just, anytime we have a warm weather destination on the schedule and you'd like to be in Miami and, you know, anywhere from November to January, I would take that, but I don't create the schedule.
Yeah, I'm a perfect weather is like 85 to 89.
Okay.
90.
So when you retire, will you snowbird?
Yes.
Got Arizona all picked out or Florida?
Florida.
Okay.
100%.
I like that
idea. No state tax.
Mm-hmm.
I like the water. Yeah.
Good spot to be.
We make plans and God laughs. You never know.
So. You can go join Peter in Miami.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm coming, Peter. Save us a bedroom. 312-332-3776. Nesby's in Farmington Hills. Hey, Nesby, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Cap, man? How you doing?
All good, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm all right, man. I think, first and foremost, the breakdown of Roquan up there on the podium yesterday, man, it kind of irked me a little bit because, you know, I mean, granted, he could miss his guy, whatever, whatnot, but to be up there crying like Randy Moss did over Corey Stringer, come on, dog. He didn't die. He just got traded, okay?
Okay, that is just again, you fan how you want a fan.
I get it, Cap.
A horrible take.
I get it, Cap.
This is somebody who he created a relationship with, who was a leader in the room, and he sees his guy going. He's bummed. I thought that was awesome.
I get it, but Cap, he didn't cry about that relationship where he wanted $20 million from another team this offseason, did he or did he not?
That has nothing to do with it.
Yes, it does.
No, it does not.
So wait, you're not thinking about the relationship when you want to be traded, when you demand a trade?
He's asking to be paid. They said no, and he said, fine, I'll find somewhere else that will pay me. It's not about a relationship there. It's about business. This is his guy. This is a guy who is a leader in that room. You heard what Courtney said, how important he is to that locker room.
Like you said, business.
I thought it was really cool.
Business, right? This is business. So he should understand that this is part of the business. His guys that you build relationships with will be traded.
I think he does understand that, but there's a human element here, too, that we can't look past that. I mean, this is not just acquisitions and players come and go, and you don't expect guys that they've been with pretty much every single day for the last 25 weeks. If you go back to, you know, the offseason workout program, and yes, I know Robert Quinn wasn't there, but nonetheless, they share the same space. They're part of the same defensive meeting rooms. Like, that's not something that's easy for players to have to stomach. And I would imagine that Robert Quinn, you know, when we were talking about Roquan Smith's contract situation, Quinn was one who, you know, came up several times because it's like, hey, you were subject to trade rumors this offseason. How'd you handle it? What'd you feel? And he had some really poignant things to say about Roquan Smith. And I think that Roquan felt that sort of support that he was getting from all angles of the locker room, but particularly from a veteran who had been down this path. This is the third time Robert Quinn has been traded in his career. He gets it. He's walked the walk. So for Roquan Smith to go up there, get emotional about it, I love seeing the human side of it. I love what Ryan Poles had to say about it yesterday. Not only the fact that we have a general manager in the NFL, no less. It's not baseball where you get guys, you know, whenever you want to talk to them. You have managers willing to sit with you in the dugout
before and after every game.
Like, that doesn't happen in the NFL. Ryan Poles has talked twice, called a press conference impromptu before his team plays on a nationally televised game on Monday Night Football just to check in. That never happened when I covered the Minnesota Vikings. That never happened when I covered the Oakland Raiders or the San Francisco 49ers. Those people tend to hide when there's moves like this. They don't want to have to address it.
Again, same thing with Ryan Pace, who has now said that was probably a mistake on my part.
Sure.
I learned I should have been more accessible.
And I think that polls to express what Roquan Smith did, you know, and obviously, I feel like every time that there's been something this year, and it could just be that he's a first-time general manager trying to figure it out and trying to figure out what his response should be to stuff, I very much appreciate he comes across like a human being where he toils over these decisions. He made the right one yesterday. No one is faulting him for trading Robert Quinn at all. He got an incredible haul back in return in a fourth-round pick that you just paid $7.1 million for. But he's also a human being and knows that he's tweaking the fabric of the locker room. His words. So I can appreciate that side of it because you just don't often see that because everything feels so transactional in this business. And it doesn't have to.
Well said. Completely agree. Let's go to Chief. He's listed on the ESPN app. Chief, what's up?
What's up, Witchy Cap? How you doing, Courtney?
I'm good, man. Yeah. How are you doing, Sparkles?
Oh man, I'm doing awesome. I think we hit it from some of us had it from the beginning. Some of us now are seeing the picture, but he was going to build a team all the way from the bottom. And to me, just like the game against the Patriots, that's it. They passed the final exam. We on to next year. I know what I got. Robert, go chase a Super Bowl. Let's look forward to this draft. Finish building these Cubs into monsters. And we back, baby. That's all I got to say. Yo, y'all have a good one.
Have a great one, Chief. Appreciate you.
Robert Quinn did not factor into their plans beyond this season.
Correct.
Now, I don't know if that means he wants to scrap the entire roster because you still have building blocks on this team. Jalen Johnson is not going anywhere.
Yeah, but he's like, what, 22?
He's got 23? Robert Quinn's 32. So that's to my point exactly, where you still have other pieces of Roquan Smith in that mix too, who's 25 years old. Those are the guys that you build around. Robert Quinn is closer to the end of his career than he is the beginning of it. And he was going to be very expensive to keep around next year anyways. He had an $18.2 million cap hit. They were going to have to figure out a way to either restructure that or potentially release him. He didn't factor into the long-term plans here, so this one shouldn't surprise anyone. I mean, the timing of it right now, I mean, the compensation surprises me because I saw a fourth-round pick and I said, wow, That is really, really good at this time of year to get that for Robert Quinn, and then you find out the financials behind it, and it just makes too much sense. But I don't think that that means that Ryan Poles is trying to scrap the entire rest of the roster. It's just that you have to look at, he's the oldest defensive player on the team, and you like what you have behind him. It may not be showing up in the form of sacks this year, considering they have 12 as a team, and every turn Matt Eberflus has said they need more, but they like what they have in Travis Gipson. They like what Al-Kadeen Muhammad and his physical intensity, what that's bringing to the team. But most importantly, your draft pick is hitting right now. Dominique Robinson has having a quiet, like, very good season. I know we talk so much about the top two draft picks and the rookie DBs, and that's great, but Dominique Robinson you have to keep an eye on him because he is a really good player with tremendous upside, and they like what they have from him, so they were okay parting ways with Robert Quinn now because of who's in line behind him.
All right, we'll get to more of your calls. Do you hope the Bears stay active before the deadline? It's not baseball. It's not the way they do it in baseball. Football's different. Do you want them to stay active? Move a Montgomery, a Roquan. Is there somebody else? 312-332-3776. She's Courtney in for Hoodie. I'm Cap. Be right back.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Cronin, she's in for Hoodie. I'm Cap. 312-332-3776. Don't forget Deal Breakers. Courtney has never played Deal Breakers.
I'm
That's
excited
coming
for
up
this
at
one.
8:35. What else do we have snorling? We've got Shot No Shot coming up at 8, of course. That's our favorite segment of the day. But we got anything else fun for Courtney?
We've got some things in the hopper I think we'll get to.
Sounds good. And then she'll be with me again next week.
I don't
week.
Want to spoil them too much, but we've got some fun stuff on deck.
Yeah, I don't know why. I got a call from Danny yesterday. I got to see you. So Danny pulls me in and said, hey, we'd like to just kind of sample other communities. We want you to do the show on Tuesday at my favorite breakfast restaurant in the world. So I'm going to be, I think you're coming with me.
Yeah, Tuesday.
We're going to be at Espresso in Bannockburn. My guy Gus, who runs Espresso, he has two of them there and in Glenview. Danny, talk to him. Hey, can Cap do the show from there? So we're going to have omelets. And
excited.
We'll do the show up there. And
I've been to the one in Glenview before. It's a great spot in the Glen.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. How about this? I go in the other day to get my wife's birthday cake. I got her a chocolate chip cookie cake.
Mm-hmm.
At Scoops and Cookies up in Deerfield. I walk in, the owner's talking sports with me, and the young lady, she's got to be a freshman in college, that age. She says, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a sportscaster. I work at ESPN, and I do TV over at NBC Sports Chicago. She's like, oh, my great-grandfather played football. And I'm thinking, you know, like at Deerfield High School or something. And I said, oh, what did he do? She said, well, his name was Sid Luckman. I'm like, what?
Great, what are the chances?
Great-granddaughter of Sid Luckman works at Scoops and Cookies in Deerfield, which has the best ice cream I've ever had.
So did you end up staying and chatting Bears football?
We did chat some Bears football.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. Really
what
cool.
What are the chances? My goodness.
Yes.
Name drop like that.
Sid Luckman.
Last true franchise quarterback this team has ever had, and you just ran into his granddaughter? Great-granddaughter?
Great-granddaughter.
That's incredible.
It was unbelievable. Anyway, 312-332-3776. Let's go to Gerard. He's on the south side. Inspector Gerard, what's up?
Good morning. Good morning, Sparkles. I love that, bro. I promise you I love that.
Appreciate you, Buttercup.
Hey, man. First off, I got to say, I love the backcast last night. You rooting for Vooks was absolutely amazing.
Thanks.
Vooks get a rebound! That was absolutely awesome.
It was fun.
But, yeah, I want to talk about Roquan, man. I think it's unfair what they're doing to him. I know the NFL's a business. I get it. You know, the Bears and the ownership, they're going to try and get as much out of you for as less they can possibly pay you. I get it. But the life expectancy of these football players is so short that you have to get your number and stick to it, especially if you're a stud. And we all agree he's a stud. His numbers are improving. I think the scheme helps him because he gets to actually, you know, rush the passer in this scheme and just run all over the place like a madman, which helps his you know, profitability. I think he stick to his number. If the Bears don't give it to him, demand a trade. If they put that funky franchise tag on him, cool. Now I have every single nagging soft tissue injury known to mankind.
That's not what a winner does. A competitor competes.
No, I get that, and I understand that, and I respect that. But we also have to respect that these guys are, you know, they don't have long to play. And if they're asking for a number and they've earned it, we have to kind of give it to them. Now, I'm not saying a ridiculous $25, $30 million a year. He's not asking for that. If they're offering $17 and he's asking for $20, get it to him, and we're seeing the production. So that's my thoughts on it, bud. What do you think?
We appreciate your call, first of all. Thank you, Gerard. I don't think Roquan's a $20 million a year guy. I don't.
What's the happy medium for you? 18 and a half? Because the franchise tender, to his point, is 17.5 next year, roughly. That's the estimated tag value for a linebacker.
So I called Mike Tannenbaum. He ran two teams.
Mm-hmm.
He did win the Super Bowl as a GM, but he had some success. Got to the AFC title game, I think, twice. I said, what would you pay for Roquan Smith? And he said, 15. And I said, okay, why not 20? He said, you're going to get to the point where right now you're in this talent acquisition mode and you've got all this cap space. You're like, well, just throw him another $5 million. He goes, and all of a sudden, there's going to be something that comes available and you think, oh, man, that guy'd be great on our damn it. Why did we spend $5 million more on that? He said he's a very good player. He goes, I'm not denigrating his abilities in the slightest. He's not a $20 million a year linebacker. That was what he said.
Okay. I mean, I don't fault that logic. And what we had talked about when this whole thing was going down at the beginning of August is what is the value of that position of an off-ball linebacker in a 4-3 defense who's not, you know, his primary responsibility is not rushing the passer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen these contracts not play out. C.J. Mosley, Bobby Wagner got cut from the Seahawks this year.
Correct.
Anthony Barr's contract. I was very close to that situation. That did not pan out, and he took a massive pay cut from where he was at a couple years ago to play for the Cowboys this year. Now, obviously, he's in a good situation, but nonetheless, you've got to look at those contracts and think, okay, Fred Warner, Shaquille Leonard, they're the outliers at that position of what they make. Now, if Roquan wants something that is closer to that, instead of setting the market for maybe becoming the $100 million linebacker, if you want in that $90 to $95 million range, I don't think it's a bad deal. But you know, to the caller's point, that was what we were thinking was going to happen this year. Oh, my hamstring. Oh, like, you know, a knee injury. I'm going to be out this game. You got to preserve your body.
I had Jalen Ramsey did.
Yes. And I mean, if he's doing what he needs to do right now. I said this on Monday. His stock is going way up these last couple games. If he gets to the point where they either franchise him or they can't work out a long-term deal, if they let him walk, I mean, that would be the best thing for him. Players play to get to free agency. That's the goal, to get your next contract. I don't think the Bears are going to let him out. I think that they see a player that is vital to what they want to do on the defensive side of the ball. And if it does get to that point, though, he can be like, all right, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, that'd be my fault. So I'm not going to play this the same way that I played it this year, where I went and I balled out and I did everything I needed to do to get paid.
And
so if they were in that if they are in that situation next year, you can't fault him for doing any. If he were to go that path to try to protect himself, that's a business decision. But he's doing everything he needs to do right now to get paid. I wonder how close they're going to come on a number, let's say, in February or March next year.
I can't believe they won't get a deal done.
It just doesn't feel like, after everything Ryan Poles said this offseason and the way that Roquan Smith has shown up this year for his team, you go back to the Houston game. I mean, they don't win that game if he doesn't have that interception to set up the field goal, considering the way the offense was playing.
Right.
there's other examples of it throughout this season. Of course, the interception the other night was great, but he's the heartbeat now of this defense. I mean, if he wasn't before, he certainly is now with Robert Quinn gone.
Yeah. Now, the way he's comported himself, I can't believe that Ryan Poles can't go, all right.
You got to reward that.
I'm going to go
to... He could have been a locker room lawyer, so to speak.
And he's not.
And he's not that guy.
I could see the GM saying, all right, you proved something to me. I wasn't going to go to this level. I'll give you 18.75. Take it, and I'll guarantee a little extra here for you. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Roquan takes it. I do.
I think from the character that we've seen of Ryan Poles, somebody who has been patient but also steadfast on what he wants to do. He's not having knee-jerk reactions to certain things that have gone on this offseason, whether it's, hey, the wide receiver market's exploding right now, and guys who are in one spot and want to get out, you can put a bid in on them. Like, he never was tempted. I'm sure he was tempted by it, but he never acted upon that, and of course never acted upon trying to go get a first-round pick and giving up draft capital. He was very strategic and has continued to, like, ride the same line his entire time of being GM.
I
think you
got to
reward him for that.
Agreed. 312-332-3776. She's Courtney, and for Hoodie, I'm Cap. Shot or no shot is in exactly 2 minutes.